Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Today we're going to be talking about a very juicy topic, and it's one that's come up for some of our clients recently. And someone actually asked a question in our private Facebook group, which was, how do you love without losing yourself? And it's a really interesting one for us because we focus a lot about the journey of self-love and self-discovery and developing really healthy habits to get in a good headspace so that you're ready for a relationship. But what happens when you get into a relationship? There is the fear that maybe you'll lose yourself and that you've been working so hard to get to where you are, and would that all just go to shit once you meet someone?
Mm.
And especially if you've got a pattern of doing that in previous relationships, there is this kind of fear that, oh God, am I going to revert back into that space again?
Yeah, and I think it's a really common concern and a common problem that women in particular have. I know it also happens to men, but I think it does happen a lot to women. I think if you're actually asking the question, you know, how do I avoid losing myself in a relationship, you're already in a good headspace because you're already aware that it even happens and that you might even have a propensity for it to happen. I think usually when it really happens on an extreme scale, you don't see it coming. I've definitely been in relationships where I have completely lost myself and that person became like my oxygen, so that the very idea of breaking up was so terrifying to me because it literally felt like I would be losing my life source. I think when you're in a relationship like that, you also have to recognize that the other person was willing to become that for you, so that's already a very unhealthy dynamic. But even in healthy relationships, I think that you can, particularly in the beginning, you know, we always have, it's so common to have a friend that suddenly disappears off the face of the earth. You're like, what the hell's happened to her? And it's like, oh, I see. Every time she gets a boyfriend, we don't see her again, and then she re-emerges a few years later or 6 months later when the novelty starts to wear off and, oh, now you want to hang out with me. And it can cause problems in friendships because I think if you have been someone who someone else really depended on while they were single and you've been really close and you've hung out a lot and then just like that they disappear, it does really hurt, and I don't think that is a cool way to treat someone. But I think for me, I think that you do have to understand that at the beginning of a relationship you are going to get a bit swept up with it, and that's okay. I don't think you need to panic too much. It's, you know, you're allowed to get swept up in it all, and of course you're excited to see them all the time, but then I think you do need to start just watching how far that goes. But what's been really interesting is when, you know, we decided we were going to talk on this topic, I started to delve around a bit and look into it. And there is a whole syndrome called the disappearing woman syndrome, which Beverly Engel seemingly coined. She's a psychoanalyst and author of Loving Him Without Losing Yourself. So she's written a whole book on this topic. And she describes it as losing track of what you believe in, what you stand for, and what's important to you and what makes you happy. But what's then really interesting is a neuropsychiatrist called Dr. Luanne Brzezendine, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but she's the author of The Female Brain. Now, what she says is when it comes to falling in love, part of the, we're actually hardwired, the female brain is hardwired to actually start to see the world through the eyes of your partner and will completely buy into it. So it's almost like we will just take on the way they look at the world, and that becomes ours. And if you look at, again, we come to Hollywood films and, you know, what we see in media and sort of, you know, the culture around us today is that actually you look at films, even when you have the protagonist as a woman, which we don't have, you know, many of those, but when we do, they are always looking, or so often they're looking for a man to complete them, but to give them a sense of purpose in life. And they're looking for that to be, and I, again, remember being like that, being kind of, I needed to be in a relationship for them to give me who I am.
Yeah, me too.
And I think also you get that also in friendship groups, and you get that in work as well. I don't think it's only relationships that we have a tendency to lose ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think it comes back to what is so key to get ready for love, is that we're all about you really getting to know yourself and to stand firmly in who you are and love yourself so much and value your life so much and design a life that you love and that you value, that you don't want to give it up. Because certainly my thing was that, and I know you said you felt you were like this, that you just wanted to give up your life because you were looking for someone else to bring the colour and the fun and the happiness and the purpose to it.
Yeah, and it comes from a rejection of yourself as well, and I really identify with that. I think in the past, I think my relationships from the age of 15 to probably for 10 years or so were like that. Well, I think deep down there was this sense of unhappiness, but I didn't know it. I didn't know it as unhappiness at the time. But I was definitely wanting to not share my world with someone else, but step into their world and live in their world because I didn't like my world.
I think it also is, you can even like your world, but you're still, and that's why it's so interesting, if this is true, that part of the female brain, when it falls in love, does actually almost want to step into that world and make that world their own. Because even when I was going through my whole get ready for love journey and I was really standing in a space of love, I still noticed this as I was fantasizing. I was going on the first date, heading towards the first date with the man that I'm now with. I remember fantasizing and catching myself stepping into his world and him almost creating this world for me, and I was like, and a part of me just suddenly went, right, that's it, this has to stop now. I can't handle this anymore. If that's what you're wanting to go and do, you may as well just turn around and walk back home, because a part of me was just like, I am so done with doing this. And that was the point where I said, I'm going to go to this date being the queen of my kingdom, and I'm not leaving my kingdom. That doesn't mean the other extreme, I'm not going to budge, no compromises, you step into my world, which I've also done, having reacted to totally losing myself. So there does have to be, and that's what we can discuss today, is like, how do you find that balance of holding on to who you are, being your own anchor, because that was another thing I was always looking for as a man, to be my anchor, while also creating space to develop a new part of your world that is all about you and your relationship.
Yeah, and I think it's being with someone who gives you the space to do that and supports you in your choices, really respects your healthy habits, all the stuff that you've got going on, and rather than, you know, saying, asking you to cancel your plans, for example, there's something that you're very committed to. And I think for me, it was only in the relationship I'm in now where I felt like I had the space to explore my passions. And that's really, you know, Project Love has come out of that. And previous relationships, I wouldn't have been in the right headspace to start a business because I just didn't have that space in the relationship where I felt like I was supported. And also, like, it just, I guess, like, maybe it was like slightly unhealthy before, because I was wanting that person to give me this stuff that I lacked, give me that happiness and love that I lacked. But I think something you mentioned earlier about going on the date going on a date with the right intention and starting as you mean to go on.
Yeah.
So rather than thinking, oh, well, it's just the first few months and I'm going to get swept away in it, but then I'll come back to myself. No, from the start, have that intention, that healthy intention. And yes, you do get swept away in it, and we are conditioned to be swept off our feet, because that's the language of love.
You want to spend all your time with this person suddenly.
Yeah, and also the chemicals that are going on in our brain in the first few months, they do make us a little bit crazy or a bit irrational anyway. Yeah. Like, we're not behaving how we normally behave, and that's all right as well. And I think it is being mindful. So it is taking a step back when you start to become aware that maybe there is that tendency creeping in, where you are starting to maybe forget about the stuff that's important to you and you're trying to mould into their life. And being more aware, you end up seeing the signs in a much clearer way than ever. And I think, yeah. as you said at the beginning, if you're asking that question, you're already in a great place.
Yeah.
Because you're aware yeah. that that is a thing, and we need to be aware of when that happens and the signs are there. And when you start to feel it, take a step back.
So let's get into the practicalities of it. When a client of ours recently was saying this to you, saying, you know, I'm a bit scared, just in the beginning of a relationship, yeah. I'm a bit nervous about losing myself again, because it's obviously happened before, in this new relationship, which is feels wonderful. Mm. What were some of the practical tips that you gave her?
Well, we talked about communication, because in the early stages, you're learning so much about each other. And if you don't let on that these things are important to you at the start, they'll never know.
Yeah.
And you can't assume they'll ever know.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, letting that, it was expressing your boundaries in a way that wasn't needy or pushy, mm-hmm. but was a way of expressing what it is that you need to feel happy and things that are important to you. So the example here was a client had this dance class that she went to every week, and a guy that she'd been seeing, it's quite early days, really exciting. And I think he texted her in a burst of excitement that he wanted her to meet her friends that night. And she, I think, panicked at this text message because she had the dance class that she was going to that evening.
Oh no, I'm going to have to cancel my life for this relationship.
But I think it represents something much bigger, even though it was at one dance class.
Yeah.
It kind of brings up old stuff and it triggers you to kind of panic. You know, does this mean something bigger? Does this mean that he's not going to be supportive of my of the choices that I make to do the things that make me happy and all of that stuff? So the first thing was we talked about expressing your boundaries. So and also giving him the benefit of the doubt as well, like knowing that he had the best intentions and he wasn't doing it to threaten.
He didn't know she had a dance class. Yeah, he wasn't saying sack everything off.
Yeah, and he didn't know. So she told him about this class and, you know, I do it every week and I love it. And, you know, I really love to meet your friends and having that empathy for them as well. They're coming from a good place. I really love to meet your friends. Such a good idea. But I have this dance class that's really important to me. And that needs to be respected.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, it can be very simple. But he's got the information so that he's not going to do that again. He knows, say, it's every Wednesday that she has this.
Yeah. And equally, you could say, well, do you know what? On Wednesday nights, I have this dance class, which is really important to me, but just this once, because I know you've organised this and it's not going to, there's not an opportunity to see them again. I will come, but you're also saying, but just so you know, that's kind
it's
of a one off. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it is really important right from the start to get clear for yourself what's important and where there can be a bit of leeway. Because the other thing is, you know, you can look at, and I think this is also a bit of a problem, is when women have been so used to being single for such a long time and have really designed a great life, a full life of seeing friends and dance classes, and you might have, you know, nights where you're doing creative things and cultural things and sporty things, and you've really filled your life up. So actually, if you tried to hold on to all of that, and nothing must change because I must not lose myself, then you're not really leaving much space for a relationship either, which is why, where I say it's got to be a balance. And I struggled with this at first when I was entered into the relationship I'm now in, because it is a very healthy one and we do really support each other in doing the things that make us come alive and make us happy. And it benefits the relationship because when Fons goes off and he comes back from something he's loved doing, making music, or even yoga is the more recent one, he's in such a good mood. Yeah. So I'm like, do more of that because you're great afterwards and that's great and I get to have my time. But at first I was really resistant to letting any of my life change. And so, you know, at some point he had to have a conversation with me and go, look, do you want to be in a relationship? Or do you just really want to hold on to your life exactly as it's been as a single woman all this time? And so there is that threat of like, oh, but you know, now because I suppose there were also, you know, quite protective walls around me for such a long time, that now, no, I'm a strong, independent woman. I must not let someone come and change me. Yeah. It's just like, I'm not asking to change. I'm just asking a couple of nights a week we can go out. So it's, you know, there is a balance, and you can... And I think also in the early days of a relationship, you're allowed to be testing those boundaries and noticing, oh, God, this week I didn't see my friends at all. I didn't do any of my exercise things I normally do because I was just with this great person who I'm falling head over heels in love with. But actually, do you know what? I think I just need a night on my own tomorrow night, and I'm going to just let them know that. And equally, if you're realising you're just not seeing them at all, maybe you do need to have a look at what's going on.
Yeah.
And move some things
Recalibrate.
Around.
Recalibrate.
Yeah, and explain to your friends, listen, I know I haven't been around much. I know I've completely done that classic thing of disappearing off the earth because I've met someone. But I promise you, I'm going to be back. And actually, let's put a date in the diary so that you know you're still important to me.
Because
you've got to. And it is important for you. You know, you have a full and happy life by having a lot of people in it that, you know, you love and that love you, not just that one person who's supposed to provide everything.
And as you say, it really benefits the relationship when you are having that time on your own, time with friends, time doing other stuff away from the relationship. When you come back to it, it's going to be even richer than it was.
So did you find a difference in your relationship now to other relationships you've had before? Did you find there was a kind of transition stage of kind of getting out of bad habits?
Yeah, I think I'm more me in this relationship than I ever have been. And I've realised that because I tried to fit so much into other people's worlds, that I rejected myself and I lost myself. So I wasn't, it's like I didn't have permission to be me in those relationships. And now I feel more me than ever, but other people in my past look at me and if, say, they haven't seen me for years, they think I'm different, that I've changed, because I'm different now than what I was like before. But actually, I'm more of who I am now.
That just wasn't showing through before.
Yeah, I was actually less of myself before. That's why I appear different. But I think it's just a sense of acceptance, really, in myself. And I feel more accepting than ever of myself. And it's constant progress, really. I feel I'm growing all the time.
And this is something that I've been doing kind of recently, looking into a lot of the how to make love last, and really realising that actually so much of it is, you know, we talk about designing a life that you love, but then suddenly realising it's about designing a life you love together, so that you're supporting one another to fulfil your dreams and actually recognising yourself as being kind of on the other person's team for them to fulfil their dreams, and and they're there for you to fulfil your dreams. Having that space for you both to grow, and recognising of course you're going to grow and you're going to change, but then also having that space for your own shared dreams and co-creation of things together. But that ultimately, you know, you do, it is about you becoming, I don't know, clearer and clearer on who you are, but certainly always returning to standing in a space of me at the same time of being the space of we, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think that's something I wrote down actually as I was thinking about this podcast. It is that transition from me to we.
Yeah.
And knowing that you can be in the we space and still be you, but also know that you can have those shared dreams and shared experiences as well, where you've both come from that place of self-love, so that when you come together, it's even richer because you're coming from such a healthy space that you're not depending on each other for any love that you lack in yourself. You're feeling more in love than ever because you're both coming from a place of love already.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole codependent relationship is two people who have lost themselves and who are rejecting themselves. And so by its nature, it's not a healthy space to be in. Yeah. And, you know, we always come back to that thing of, you know, to be really happy in a relationship, you need to be looking after your own self-care. And the moment that goes... You know, we talk about this all the time. It's just like the moment you're suddenly feeling like, oh, he's not... I always feel like, he's not giving me enough compliments at the moment. I really must go and have a word with him about this. And then afterwards, I'm just like, Or, Selena, perhaps you need to look at giving yourself a little bit more self-care. And it's like, God damn it. And as soon as I go and get myself a massage the day just, you know, relaxing and chilling out, suddenly, lo and behold,
I don't need
to go and have that word with him about getting more compliments.
It's exactly the same thing that happened to me. And Pav calls it my positive reinforcement needs, where I need to be told things, you know, about myself, and we laugh about it.
It is our language of love. We receive that.
But that's exactly what happened to me on Sunday. I woke up, I'd realized I'd been neglecting some of my healthy habits as well, so I got up and did some journaling, and I actually went off to get a manicure and pedicure, which I don't really treat myself to very often, but around the summertime, and it's £70, but I was like,
God, but your nails do look fabulous.
Every time I look at them, I feel really happy. It reminds me that I'm looking after myself. You know, it's like a real act of love. And spending all that money on my hands and feet, I just felt quite empowered by it as well. Not to say that I'm loaded or anything, but it just felt like that was an amount of money that was expensive for me, but that it was really worth it for how I felt.
Yeah.
And I felt so different when I came back, and I'd had all that time to myself, and I'd gone off and done this, and I went with a friend, and it was great to catch up with her. And that changed everything.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess really it all starts really at the dating stage, you know, practicing not losing yourself and just practicing, you know, like I did on when I was going towards that date, being like, I am the queen of my kingdom. Not that you have to say it in that way, but just really going, I'm going to be true to myself, and I'm going to be my own anchor and just be me and let the chips fall. If they don't like that, then it's not about trying to be a chameleon and trying to listen to. And I used to be terrible for this, which is why I found dating so stressful, because I was trying to understand in a split second what they wanted and what they would be attracted to, and then to be that.
Yeah.
Rather than, I mean, honestly, now when I look at it, I'm like, wow. Rather than turning up, which I did on my date with Fonz, and turned up and I was like, I'm just going to be completely me. And if they like it, then brilliant. And if they don't, also brilliant, because then it means they're not the person for me. Rather than if they like it, then great, and if they don't, well, screw them. It's just like, no, they don't like it, and you're not the right person, and they're not the right person for you. So it's like, it's win-win situation. Like, be you, and if they and let the chips fall, and that's it.
Yeah, dare to be you.
Dare to be you. And then in a relationship, I think it is about, I think you're right, communication is so key. And just also having a look at what you've got going on in your life and what you can give, you know, a bit of leeway to, and move things around, so you can make space for going and visiting your partner's friends and family, and you know, them doing the same with you, and recognizing that sometimes you do have to do things for your partner because it's important to them. And because they really like it, and it might not be what you would normally choose to do on a Saturday. It doesn't mean you do it every Saturday, go and watch the football or something. But if now and again they really want you there, then you do that. Mm. And likewise, they'll do things for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to a musical. That would be my thing. I don't think I would take Bonds to a musical.
Oh, yeah, and I think it's about being mindful through that whole process, as you say, from the start, from the minute you're getting ready for the date, going in with that healthy intention, but also throughout that whole dating experience, as you're getting to know each other, just really being mindful of you and your core self, and daring to reveal yourself, and not worrying, oh, what are they going to think, and shall I be trying to be more of this or less of that, because that's what they want, because you're making assumptions about what it is that they want, and you don't know that those quirks that you're really embarrassed about, that guy would probably love those things you're trying to hide. So it's about revealing yourself, and as you say, if they're not into that, then they're not the right person for you, and they free you up for someone who is.
And I would also say that if you have actually been in a relationship for quite some time and you're listening to this and your heart is sinking, you're thinking, I feel like I have lost myself and I don't really feel like I know who I am in this relationship and in my life in general, then within the relationship, one of the best things you can do is just to start asking, having conversations where both of you get to talk about the things that are important to you and some of the dreams that you have mm. and some of the things that you would like to have a go at this year that you've never done before. So yeah. that you then start to have that conversation going so that you each are given the space to voice some of your dreams and yeah. that your partner hears it.
Yeah.
And you may be surprised actually how much they're like, I think that's a great idea, you should totally do it. Mm. If you haven't talked about it, then how are they supposed to know that that's something that's a burning desire in you? Mm. So I think just yeah. that, you know, starting to have those conversations and starting to have those more regularly yeah. is a really good way of kind of starting to help to have them become part of your journey of finding yourself again.
Mm. You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.